We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome into Behind the Badgers podcast and videocast. This is our first attempt at social distancing podcasting and video casting. If you're watching us for the first time, sorry, you have to see our faces. Normally, this is just an audio version on the podcast platform. So if you're not familiar with us, check it out on podcasts. We're Behind the Badgers. Just search for it wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like it, give us a subscription. Give it a try. If you are listening on the podcast, appreciate you. If you want to see our faces, pity you. But you can probably on Facebook and wherever else we post this thing. But appreciate it. Hope you all are staying safe in this new world that we're embarking on. I am in my home sitting here trying to figure out how to get a podcast done. Brian Mason is here with me. Brian, say hi.
Hello. Good to be back with everybody, even if it is in this strange new format. And again, I'm sorry you have to look at us, but you can always just subscribe.
So a lot has happened since we last talked. We had Coach Gard on just the day after the Badgers won the Big Ten championship for basketball. Since then, they've won the national championship. So congrats to the Badger basketball team. That's pretty exciting. But at this time of year,
Hey, did you just scroll to the bottom of that story to see where the Badgers would stack up? Like, how did you consume that ESPN.com mock tournament that they ran through that the Badgers were crowned champions of?
I didn't know what the outcome was because it's somebody said the first time I saw it, I didn't have it spoiled for me. So I just read each synopsis of the Badger games as they unfolded, but I didn't bother with any other game.
No, see, I just did a control F and did a search for Wisconsin and then just kept next. Now I'm like, oh, there's a lot of Wisconsins in here. It just keeps going. It was great.
Even in this time of endless time, when you're just at home and you have all the time in the world, you still can't read articles, can you?
No, that was my plan was, you know, I'm going to use this time to go through all the things that I'd saved through the year that I didn't have time to get to. And all I've done is add to it.
Okay, so here we are. Wisconsin athletics is essentially shut down, just like all sports in general. It's a unilateral shutdown. It's depressing for us as sports consumers. I'm looking at Frank and Josh over my shoulder here, missing those guys and missing what today should be the second day of March Madness, my favorite time of the year. But we all understand the situation that we're in as humans in the world, and there's uncertainty involved in this COVID-19 and what will come in our country and our communities in the world. And so it's been difficult to see our seasons cut short for some of our athletes or eliminated altogether in the spring. But I think, Brian, you'll agree with me that everybody understands the situation we're in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any questioning of what we're doing or why we're doing it. I mean, this goes far beyond our world of college athletics. It goes far beyond the world of sports. I mean, you're into something that is fundamentally changing life in the United States. It's going to change how a lot of things happen in the world. So, I mean, for us to give up our seasons is difficult, but at this point, I don't think you can question why we're doing what we're doing at all.
We're going to have Chris McIntosh join us in just a second. He's the deputy athletic director. He's been kind of at the forefront on Wisconsin's coronavirus task force. Essentially, he was in Indianapolis when the Big Ten men's basketball tournament was going on, when all the decisions were being made. So he's going to give us an update on kind of the lay of the land for college athletics and NCAA right now, and particularly how Wisconsin is reacting and where that information is coming from that seemingly changes every day. But before we get to that, I'll add a couple things, Brian. Like, I know everybody was disappointed, but there's a couple things that I'm grateful for as I look back now at where we are and where we've come through the last couple of days. I'm really grateful that the men's basketball team in particular got a chance to win the Big Ten championship in the regular season, that they had something to show for it, that they got that celebration at Indiana. I just think about what the alternative would have been had they lost that game, being so close to a title, had they lost that and then say, okay, that's all right, we're disappointed, but we got the postseason to look forward to, and then that gets taken away. It would have just been a totally different narrative and very hollow feeling. So I'm thankful for that group. And I'm also really grateful that the Wisconsin basketball coaches, Greg Gard, Orlando Tucker, Dean Oliver, and Joe Krabenhoff, along with the trainer, the athletic sports medicine trainer, Henry Presguera, got to go visit Howard Moore on Monday, right after the Big Ten championship game, or the Big Ten championship was secured, to bring the trophy to him, to bring a championship hat and shirt, give them to him, let him touch and feel that trophy. I wasn't there, but from talking to Coach Gard, it was really emotional, and it was, I'm grateful that they had that moment, because if they'd have waited 1, 2, 3 days, I think the facility that he's in right now would have been shut down to visitors and they would have missed that window.
Along those same lines, on the football side of things, I'm really grateful that we were able to host our pro day here at Wisconsin.
Was that the last one? Was that the last one of all college athletics?
Well, Oklahoma's was the same day. So I think ours were the last two. And for the guys that needed that boost to their draft stock, you look at Chris Orr, who didn't go to the NFL Combine. You look at Quintez Cephas, who needed to improve his 40 time. Even Jonathan Taylor and Zach Vaughn that, you know, needed to show what they can do in the field work with the NFL assistants that were on site. That was huge. And I'm really glad that those guys got that opportunity, because there are guys all across the country hoping to get drafted, hoping to crack a roster as an undrafted free agent. They aren't getting those showcase opportunities right now. So that was a really positive thing for them out of all of this. And I think the biggest thing that I'm grateful for is at this point, we're all healthy. Student athletes, coaches, staff, at Wisconsin. We haven't had any infection from the coronavirus as far as we know at this point. So that's really what's most important to me out of it. And I'm grateful for that even though the world has flipped for us, you know, we're all healthy at this point.
Yeah. And shouts to women's hockey. For women's hockey, they were in the Elite Eight of their NCAA tournament, about to host a game, but they won the national title last year. So that gives me a little bit of salve for those seniors that didn't get to finish their senior year, that they still have a trophy to look back on. Scott Van Pelt from ESPN did a really great tribute to seniors all across the country, and he included women's hockey in his Wisconsin women's hockey, which was great to see. But there's other athletes that don't have that championship to fall back on, or that, you know, they have lost opportunities. I know you're close with Beta Nelson. That's one that comes to mind, that she doesn't get to defend her championships.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bummer. It's kind of similar to what we're talking about in terms of being grateful. I'm grateful that she got to have those three titles the previous year. So there's no unanswered, like, am I good enough to be a champion? Well, yeah, she is. We knew that. And it stinks for her to lose the opportunity to defend them. But I'm glad she will always be an NCAA champion. Same for Ollie Hoare with men's track. He's the guy who was among several title contenders on the track team. And he's a guy who had a chance to win some championships. So, again, we're searching for silver linings here, but at the end of the day, you hate it for the people whose opportunities are lost.
We'll ask Mac, too, about this NCAA discussion that's happening on, do we grant eligibility waivers for the seniors or people who didn't get to finish that lost competition? We'll ask him about that, see what the status of that is. But as a sports consumer, there's a void to fill right now, and I've listened to more podcasts, and I guess thanks to those who are listening to this, because there's a void to fill. I miss March Madness. We, on the Wisconsin basketball Twitter account, we have decided to keep our tradition. Every year when Wisconsin's in the NCAA tournament, we do a field of 68 tweets of unique content, from the trip and from the travel leading up to that first game. And then if they win, there's a field of 32, a field of 16, and so on. And so even though the tournament's not happening, we're trying to keep that energy alive with memorable moments from Wisconsin's NCAA tournament history. So, because there seems to be this insatiable appetite for anything college basketball right now, because people are jonesing for it.
Yeah, and I don't know what else you guys have coming down the line to fill out that field of 68, but it's going to be hard to top the One Shining Moment video that the Badger basketball Twitter account put out today. Shout out to Jerry Mao and all of our video staff for all their hard work during the year. But Jerry putting that thing together, I mean, that's awesome. Like, One Shining Moment, you know, like, I'm a sucker for it to start with. And then when you make it all about Wisconsin and you get to top it off with the Big Ten championship, I mean, it's all the feels when you watch that video.
I was just going to say that. That song gets me in the feels anyway. And then you combine it with the images, and it's my second favorite one. The 2015, well, it's probably my favorite one, but the 2015 one I really liked a lot too, because Wisconsin's awesome run. I just have to turn it off with about 20 seconds left because there's too much Duke celebrating at the end.
The problem with that one for me is the fact that I was sitting courtside at Lucas Oil Stadium watching that. And in part of it in my head is, oh my God, I'm at the national championship game watching One Shining Moment. The problem is there's blue and white confetti everywhere and Duke's the team on the floor that gets to see it. So,
yeah, I was back in the sad locker room, but we could hear it. We could hear it playing it. So you knew what was happening out there. And it was just like, twist the knife, like, oh God. All right, we're down a bad road again. I don't want to go there. So we're sad for a lot of things. We're sad for the quality of our podcast, but thank you all for giving us a shot in this social distancing. Brian, where are you? I see you got the bowl behind you. We talked about it earlier in the podcast. That's the Wisconsin-Iowa tradition you play for with your brother-in-law?
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Andrew. It's never left this shelf. This is its normal spot. I didn't move it specifically for this.
We can only see the hawk. There we go.
There you go. Slide out of the way.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
So Heartland Trophy, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the mini version anyway. This is its permanent home, but I'd call this my man cave, but there's a play kitchen over here and a Play-Doh set. So it's as much a kid's playroom as it is anything else down here.
All right. Well, let's check out Chris McIntosh's home office too and see what his new normal has looked like over these last few days and maybe foreseeably over the next few weeks. Mac, thanks for jumping on the new normal podcast, I guess it is. We're all experimenting as we go. We know that campus buildings are essentially closed down other than essential personnel. So what does your office look like these days? Are we looking at it? Is it the living room at the McIntosh house?
You're looking at it. This is the living room of the McIntosh house. You know, we bought a house when we moved back to Madison that was built in the late 1800s. It's Victorian. It's a cool house. But they weren't thinking about home offices back in 1895 when this one was built. So I'm plopped down right in the middle of the house. And now with, you know, kids and virtual learning from school and everything, don't be surprised if you see one kind of pop up behind me as they're passing through.
Not a lot of closets built in the 1800s, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Don't get me started on that. It's kind of a sore subject around here.
So, Mac, how is your family coping with everything? And, I mean, Patrick and I were talking before the show even about, okay, if you're stuck at home, at least we've got sports to watch, but we don't. So how are you guys handling everything?
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty good. I think we're going through the same thing that everybody's going through right now across the country and beyond. You know, there have been moments in which we, like I'm sure everybody has felt, you know, maybe a little sorry for ourselves. And what we've been trying to do here is to remind ourselves that, you know, we're healthy and things are okay for us. It's going to require an adjustment like everyone else. My kids are 15, 13, and 11. And, you know, we're frankly grateful that they're as old as they are right now, because I think back to the time when they're 6, 4, and 2. And I'm glad that we're not going through that right now. That would be a whole different ballgame.
That's where Brian's at right now. He's got a young one at home.
Yeah, but trying to replicate kindergarten lesson plans has been an interesting challenge out of this whole deal for sure.
Yeah.
Mac, can you Can you tell us what we know right now? I mean, a lot has transpired in the last 10 days or so. A lot has happened every hour. It seems like things are moving. Can you just give us a lay of the land of what we know for college athletics, Wisconsin athletics?
Yeah, I'll be happy to share with you what I know. And I think, you know, the best thing that I can share with you is that there's just a tremendous amount of uncertainty right now. And that uncertainty extends long or far past college athletics. You know, if you think about how quickly this has unfolded here in the U.S., certainly on the college landscape, you know, we went from, you know, a week ago Wednesday to hosting games with fans in the building to, you know, for the athletic department and the university working remotely on Sunday night. And so, you know, everybody in the country and beyond is dealing with this kind of pace of change. For us in athletics, the next few weeks are going to look just like it does right now. And it's very likely that it will go beyond that. And I think everybody is kind of beginning to come to grips with that reality. We've got a check-in date a few weeks out just to see what's happening. But for the meantime, we're telling our staff and our fans and our coaches and our student athletes to be with your families and to stay healthy and to try to keep each other healthy. And really our emphasis beyond that has been to play a very active role in the public health kind of responsibility or citizenship that we own a part of. And that has guided many of the decisions that have kind of led us to this point. And it's going to continue to do so.
Does the social responsibility include not shaving?
So this is, listen, you can't point any fingers.
I finally did today, for the record, for the first time since we've been home.
Yeah. Well,
not happening. Not yet.
You know, if I were more savvy on, you know, social platforms, I'd start the core and goatee challenge right now. But, you know, I wasn't exactly, you know, preparing for a video podcast or anything else. And so I thought if there's ever a time to see how gray my beard has got, now would be the time.
Mine was pretty sad. So that's why I just mm-hmm. gave up and said, let's move on with that dream. In your position, Deputy AD, who are you meeting with at this point? And we know all meetings are virtual. I mean, that's how we're living our lives at this point. But who are you meeting with? Where are you getting your information from? Trying mm-hmm. to stay up to date as things move as quickly as they do.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine the amount of coordination that's been necessary over the last week. You know, a week and a half ago, Wednesday, Barry and I and Katie Smith and Pete Miller were at Big Ten meetings in Indianapolis. So there's coordination with the Big Ten, and that's actually happening daily right now between the athletic directors. There's campus coordination. Obviously, we take the lead from campus in terms of what happens with the students. We've got 850 student athletes, and you know, campus safety and campus leadership kind of dictate what happens with them, and we fall in line. And we have done everything we can to partner with campus to do what we can to assist in that or to make it easier. You know, we are on a it's slowed down here in the last day or two, but there hasn't been a day in which, for the last week or even more, that I haven't talked to numerous times a day with our doctors. Our lead physician, Dr. David Bernhardt, and Dr. Ann Sheehy, who's one of our faculty representatives and participates on a Big Ten task force on COVID-19. And for us, in terms of what we can do with our student athletes, what's responsible, what's safe, timing, we follow their lead. They are the ones that are going to tell us when it's safe to do things and when it's not. And right now, we're just like everybody else on campus. Our building is essentially closed with a couple of minor exceptions. You know, our sports medicine clinic is one of those. and our mental health services are another. But with the exception of that, you know, our facilities are shut down because, you know, the public health officials here and those two doctors as kind of the conduit to the athletic department have said that it's time to do that. That's the appropriate thing to do right now. And so that leads us to telling people to go home and stay home. And if you can, to work from home. And that's just where we're at right now.
You mentioned being in Indianapolis last week. Can you take us back to that? It was Wednesday, March 11th, and it was the first day of the men's basketball tournament. And that had to be a surreal environment.
And so could you kind of just paint the picture of what you were doing, who was there, how the conversation went from, okay, we're going to close it with no fans, then we're going to close it completely, and it's changing, yeah, like you said, by the minute.
Yeah, I think, you know, the timing, the intersection in terms of the timing of the tournaments, even beyond the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, other conferences or other large events, really, and kind of growing awareness here in the U.S. About the spread of COVID-19, that intersection was on that, you know, Wednesday the 11th and for the day or two prior. That's when those things really, really met head on. In hindsight, it seems surreal to think that we were sitting in Indy that day and we had fans coming to the venue that night. But it's illustrative of how quickly this unfolded. And you know, I thought we made a decision to try to play the games without fans. After Wednesday night, it was too late on that Wednesday night, the first day of the tournament. But you know, when we left that meeting, you know, the assumption was that the players were going to be healthy, the officials were going to be healthy, the coaches were going to be healthy. And, you know, it was that Wednesday night in which a couple of other events took place that really called into question that assumption. And I think that attracted the attention of many people beyond the Big Ten, the NCAA, the NBA, and that was really the biggest domino that fell that led us to canceling the Big Ten tournament. You know, that next day, that was announced, the NCAA tournament, and so on, so forth, and seasons. That was when basically everything unfolded in college athletics.
When did this first come on your radar? I mean, I think we all saw what happened in China when the outbreak began and knew there was a chance for it to be a problem in the U.S. when it got here. But yeah, when did you guys start tracking the potential for what this could be? And did you ever think we'd get to the point where, I mean, daily life is, for better or worse, almost shut down?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll speak personally for me, for a long time until maybe, 3 weeks ago or so, this was just something that was happening elsewhere in the world. Now I think about that and I just kind of scratch my head and say, how could that be? But that's just the reality for me personally. I'll say this, our campus leadership had this on the radar long before I did. And they were thinking through scenarios in which this could be problematic for the university and for public health here in Madison. They began working on this weeks and weeks ago, contingency planning to deal with this. And I give them credit because, you know, they basically emptied out a university with 40,000 plus students in a very, very short period of time. And the amount of planning even before you get to planning, just the level of awareness that they have had on this issue, I commend them right now because they put in some long hours to get it done, but it was the right thing to do. They were kind of more towards the front end or front edge of making really tough decisions about this. They didn't wait to be told what they had to do. They initiated what they thought was right. And, hindsight as our guide, they made the right decision for sure. And so we in athletics, we're grateful for that. that they had enough foresight to do that.
Mac, I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations with coaches and maybe even some student athletes. What's the response that you're hearing? I mean, I think everybody understands that we're all in this situation together, but for the coaches and athletes who had their seasons cut short or won't have a spring season, what kind of feedback are you hearing from Badgers?
Yeah, I think, I'll say this, clearly on the front end, when it was announced, particularly to our winter sports who were just about to move into championship season, if you will, whether it's the Big Ten tournaments or NCAA tournaments, there was disappointment and even, disbelief as to what was happening. And that, I point back to that same kind of awkward couple of days that, the 11th, 12th, 13th, because it wasn't, there was a lot of trust that needed to be put in, and a lot of faith put in some of these decisions, because it wasn't on our doorstep at that time, at that moment. Not like it is today. And so, there were a lot of people that were disappointed. There were athletes that were disappointed. There were coaches, administrators, and fans. And I think that's fair. I think that's a human reaction. I think what has been kind of the most comforting or heartwarming to me is that that emotional reaction was short-lived, just about to a T, to everybody I've talked to, the coaches, the athletes that had their NCAA championship hopes ended within days after that, realized just how big this is, how much bigger this is than Wisconsin athletics or than NCAA championships or frankly sport. This is a time for us to come together as a society and to work together to try to curb this. And quickly, our athletes and our coaches and our staff accepted that.
Really, I just want to know, how's Paul Chris taking this? And has he mobilized his like video lab of breaking down footage to his house? Because that's my vision, this like football bat cave.
I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. I think, Paul has been, to his credit, this has basically interrupted spring football. And I think, we've been grateful. I've personally been grateful to Coach Chris for the approach that he's taken around this. He understands this is bigger than football. He understands the magnitude of what we're dealing with as a community. And he's been, a partner in this all along. And I'm grateful for that. It would be tough if he weren't right now. And so he's a, kids first, always, student athletes first, always kind of person, as well as coach. And he gets it. He gets what this is. Now, he did mention to me that he's looking forward to this time because instead of, recruiting the way he would have in a traditional sense or practicing, it allows him to crunch more film, both to get ready for next year and to prepare for whatever a spring football could look like if it actually happens, and for recruiting. So that's his favorite thing to do. Quarantine allows him to do that.
There's got to be a way to get more offensive linemen on the field, like hippo.
It'll be interesting to see, if our game planning becomes more innovative or creative, given as a function of more time spent crunching film by Coach Chris.
So he's turning over rocks, and that's great. And I think all of us that are tied into football, our first thought is about losing spring football and what impact that's going to have on the sport and on us specifically. But is there any light you can shed on the people who lost competition season? I mean, there's been a lot of talk out there about at the NCAA level about waivers for student athletes to get their year back when their season was canceled. Is there any movement there or anything you can bring to light to at this point?
I can share a little bit about that. There's been a tremendous amount of discussion about what what should happen, what could happen. There's been no decisions made on that. And, you know, that clearly falls in the NCAA's jurisdiction. The Big Ten has been in almost daily contact with the NCAA on that issue. The thing that makes it most difficult is that we don't know how long this period of uncertainty is going to be. And so we're making decisions on what those ramifications could be for those athletes at this period of peak and utter uncertainty. And so right now, you know, we're all working through what that could look like in our own programs, and we're awaiting some guidance from the NCAA as to how they might be viewing this as well. That's a long way of saying nobody knows what's going to happen right now. And if there were a theme of the day or a theme for this call, it would be that. That's just the time we live in. There's no shortage of uncertainty right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants answers. And to most of these questions, there are no answers at this point. It's so much work in progress.
Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, it gets back to this kind of larger point. We feel for those athletes, those winter sport athletes that had their seasons cut short before the championship season. And we feel for those athletes and coaches, of course, in the spring season. Right now there's this larger objective right now. We play a part in that, and that's the game that we're focused on winning right now.
Well, Mac, thanks for giving us some insight. We appreciate you jumping on, and I'm sure your kids helped you set up the technology to my kids did here. So I'm just figuring that everybody's in the same boat as me, but appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay active. And maybe we'll catch up with you in a couple weeks again, because you might know more answers. You might not.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate you guys, forging ahead, getting creative and innovative, trying to, make things roll in the new normal right now. So kudos to you guys.
Okay. Keep not shaving, and I'll try to.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mac.
Our thanks to Chris McIntosh for jumping in and for not shaving. We appreciate seeing him in his new normal. And thanks to you guys for watching or listening wherever you're consuming this content. We hope to keep doing this, and we've got some time on our hands in our
base. If nothing else, we're bored. I mean, we need something to do. So this fits the bill.
So we're going to try and get some compelling guests for you. I know Ethan Happ is a really interesting story. He was playing overseas in Italy, which right now is the epicenter of the coronavirus. He's back home safely, but he's in quarantine. He'd be a really interesting guest if we could track him down, or some of the other guys that have spread out around the country. Maybe one of our current student athletes, check in on them, see what they're doing in this time of social isolation. Brian, who else should we try and get on?
I think, some of our NFL guys, either the guys that are in the league already. Alec Ingold shouted me down the other day about not having him on the pod yet. So maybe we'll put a call into Alec, or some of the guys that are going through the draft process right now. I think I'll reach out to those guys and see if we can see how their world's changed since they've been locked out of NFL facilities, basically.
If there's anybody that you guys would like to hear from, if you want us to try and track down, send us a note. You can get us a few different ways. We've got an email address. It's behindthebadgers@gmail.com. We've also got a Twitter handle, which is @behindbadgers. Drop us a line. But thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard or seen, or if you just want more updates for Wisconsin athletics, tell your friends. And hopefully we'll be back in a couple days and can do this again.
Unless we get fired.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Badgers. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.